Welcome to Hockey Whisk Talks podcast. Today I'll be talking about how analytics have completely changed how players get evaluated. In this podcast, I'll give a brief overview about what hockey analytics is and how they have completely changed how players get evaluated, as well as the effect it has on players. The most important thing to understand about analytics is that unlike the numbers that describe what happened, like how many shots are blocked in a game, how tall a player is, and what a team's win-loss record is, analytics undergo mathematical rigor to prove that they have some meaningful predictive value. Information that is classified as analytics give us a level of probability attached. If Team X does this, it is likely this other thing happens. It is not guaranteed, but likely. Analytical-based numbers help us gain a deeper understanding of what a team or a player really is, beyond just looking at results. Where do analytics come from? It is easy to think of analytics as some crazy mathematical formulas that may feel intimidating to understand, but that's not necessarily the case in hockey. Almost all publicly available data is based on data that the NHL keeps track of and publishes. In fact, the roots of hockey analytics is based solely on shot data, which was where was a shot taken, and what kind of shot it was, and what was the outcome. From there, some measures do bring in mathematical complexities, but from the start, hockey analytics has really been about what numbers do we really true hold meaning in understanding the game. There are limitations to this data too. There's a lot of information we currently don't have. Where is the puck at any given time? Where exactly are players in relative to the play? And where exactly are players in relation to the play? Should you dig deeper into analytics, you will rightly find out there are questions we have that analytics can't answer. But for now, let's take a look at what analytical information is most commonly used in hockey and what it tells us. The most commonly used analytic in hockey is the Corsi, also known as shot attempts by shot volume by possession. When you see shot count on a scoreboard or box score, that number represents only pucks that either go into the net or are stopped by the goaltender. If you have ever watched a few minutes of hockey, you'll notice that a lot more pucks are directed towards the net than those that either go in or are played by the goalie. That's where Corsi comes in. Corsi doesn't just count shots in the traditional sense. It also counts missed shots that miss the net and block shots. You can come up with this number by simply adding the first columns on the NHL score sheet. Corsi can be measured for a player or team. Corsi can be measured for a team or player or against a team or player as an on-ice measure or individual count. Why is Corsi helpful? First, it is a more complete representation of the offense that a team is generating. It's all the pucks being sent towards the net, and it also represents the workload a goaltender faces. Second, and most importantly, Corsi has been statistically proven to be the strongest predictor of the likelihood to win a game. The team that shoots the most towards the net is likely to get the ideal outcome. The next most important hockey analytic is the Fenwick, also known as unblocked shot attempts, unblocked shots, and unblocked shot volume. Now that we understand why Corsi is so good, we can also understand where it has flaws. Currently, public shot data from the NHL is tracked by human recording shot location and outcome. And this means when it comes to blocked shots, the NHL marks where a shot is blocked and not where a shot is from. There's only so much that you can capture real time. So the Fenwick is a measure that removes the data that truly doesn't represent what actually happened. It's Corsi without the blocked shots. In other words, Fenwick is the shots on goal, goals plus missed shots. Fenwick isn't as statistically predictive as Corsi, but it does help us understand the differences in performance at a team or player level as it relates to blocked shots. Fenwick is also a big piece of more complex analytical measures, so understanding what is important. The next important analytic is expected goals, also known as shot quality or XG. Expected shots is a measurement based on the idea that not all shots are created equal. And this makes sense, no? It would seem far more more likely that a goal comes from a puck shot from in close to the net as compared from a shot fired from far away at the blue line. That's what the adjusted goal calculation tries to answer, using a mathematical model that factors in which kind of shots become goals. And expected goals factors in a variety of factors, including but not limited to shot distance, shot type, time since last shot, game state, even strength versus power play or penalty kill, and the shooter. While expected goals feels like a great measurement, it is not entirely the best one we have because of a few reasons. First, not all expected goals are created equal. Every model has its own formula, so it's important to understand what each does and what it does not include. Secondly, because these models are based on publicly available data, some pieces of information are assumptions. Expected goals is a valuable tool, but as always, take the time to know which model you are using and what that model represents. Wins above replacement and goals above replacement, also known as WAR or GAR, are also important analytics to know in hockey. If you are a fan of baseball, you've likely heard of the term WAR. WAR is a measure that looks at a lot of different points of data to try and distill a player's value into one single number, and that is how many wins does a single player add or subtract to their team as compared to a replaced value player, as compared to a replaced level player. A replacement level player is a conceptual baseline of a player who neither adds nor subtracts value. Their contribution is zero. Goals above replacement does the same thing as WAR, but it looks at how many goals does a player contribute. Goals above replacement can also be broken out into sub-measures, including offensive GAR, defensive GAR, and etc. And just like expected goals, the data we have access to limits how robust these models can be. Given the complexity of the game of hockey, it is certainly fair to question the validity of one number captures all measure. Think of WAR and GAR as a good place to start understanding a player's contribution that one can point towards the type of follow-up questions you may have about how to truly evaluate that player. Everything we've talked about up to this point has been shot-based, but the next batch of data we can explore looks at things that are happening up to the shot. This information is currently lumped into a catch-all category called microstats and falls into a few categories. Passing data, who makes the pass, who is making the passes on a team, where is the pass, and what is the outcome of the pass. Transition data, zone exits and entries, how does the team get out of the zone and into the offensive zone, who makes this happen, who tries to keep it from happening on the other team, and how often do they do it? What is the outcome? We are just at the beginning stages of understanding the true value of this kind of information, but we are already learning what kind of passes are most dangerous and what are the best ways to get the puck into the offensive zone. The only drawback to this data is that today it is not made publicly available by the league and must be manually tracked. This means that getting our hands on this type of information is a much slower process than working with shot-based data. What is so great about analytical measurements, it is way more than traditional stats. They can apply to a player or team, but because analytical measures have a predictive value, it is also important to understand the different ways these numbers can be applied to a situation. Every measure can be totaled altogether to give a count. For example, if Philip Grubauer has 100 saves, that tells us exactly how many pucks Grubauer stops. But how does that stack up to other goaltenders or other seasons? No two players at any position play the exact amount of time. How can we be sure we are comparing apples to apples? Well, we address these kind of questions by using different unit measurements. We address these kind of questions by using different units of measure. Rates, also known as per 60 or per 60 minutes of play, is a great way of making sure you are comparing apples to apples. For example, if Philip Grubauer plays 240 minutes across 4 games and stops 48 pucks, is that better or worse than a goaltender who plays 594 minutes across 10 games and stops 100 pucks? If we just compare counts, 48 saves versus 100, we would think that the player with 100 saves is better, but that's not necessarily the case. By using rating stats, or accounting for how much time a player has put forth the measured performance, we bring everything onto the same scale to see how they did. per 60 minutes of play. The most common rating scale in hockey is per 60 minutes of play, since that is how long a normal hockey game lasts. If we rate out of the two examples above, number of pucks saved divided by total time played times 60, we actually find that Grubauer actually saved 12 pucks per 60 minutes of play, compared to the other player who saved 10 pucks per 60 minutes of play. Now, which player is better? By using rating stats, we don't have to worry as much about the variance in playing time. We can bring every player onto a common unit of measure. Rates allow us to see how a player or team produces, but is that enough? That is where percentages come in. Percentages allow us to look at not only production in apples to apples way, but it allows us to factor in when you consider what your competition is doing. Let's look at another example. Let's say that we know that the Kraken produced 34 shots attempts per 60, and they are about to play a team that produces 42 shots per attempt, and they are about to play a team that produces 42 shot attempts per 60. If this is all we look at, it would be easy to assume that the other team created more offense. Or another thought might be that the other team was simply better. But what if we knew that while the Kraken take about 34 shots per 60, the average number of shot attempts in any Kraken game is 65. This means that the Kraken earn 52% of all shot attempts in any given game. This would also be noted as a Corsi percentage. Now we understand what kinds of numbers we look at and how they are measured. We have to consider that game state. Most of a hockey game is played with 5 players. Most of a hockey game is played with 5 skaters plus 1 goalie on the ice for each team. But sometimes, due to penalties, one team has an extra man advantage. It makes sense to acknowledge that teams play differently if they have a different number of skaters on the ice. And that's where game state comes in. Game state groups all kinds of data we've already reviewed by how many skaters are on the ice. So what happens during the power play doesn't inflate or detract how a team or player plays the majority of time, which is with 5 skaters versus 5 skaters. The grouping of game states that you might see include 5v5, power play 5v4 and 5-on-3, penalty kill, which is shorthanded 4-on-5 or 3-on-5, and all situations. If you want to truly evaluate a player or a team, it is best to look at even strength play because this represents the majority of the scenarios in which a player will play. And now a word from our sponsor. Check out my scouting blog at hockeywith777scouting.com. Listen to my scouting blog podcast on podcasters.spotify.com/pod/show/hockeywith777scouting. In hockey, data analytics has emerged as a game changer, providing valuable insight and transformed the way teams strategize and players perform. In recent years, the integration of analytics in hockey has become increasingly prevalent, revolutionizing how teams evaluate performance, make tactical decisions, and gain a competitive advantage. Let's explore the profound impact analytics has on hockey and how the data is shaping the future of the sport. Analytics also plays a crucial role in assessing a player's value, especially in contract negotiations and player acquisitions. Advanced metrics such as Corsi and expected goals provide a deeper understanding of a player's impact on the game beyond traditional stats like goals and assists. Teams can make an informed decision based on a player's overall contribution to a team's success. Data analytics have also revolutionized the player scouting process during the draft. Teams can now access potential draft picks more comprehensively, considering not only their on-ice performance, but also their underlying analytics. This approach minimizes the risk of selecting a player solely based on intuition, leading to more strategic and well-informed draft decisions. Analytics in hockey has not only impacted team performance, but also enhances fan experience. With an increasing availability of data, fans can now access advanced statistics and analytics, gaining deeper insight into the sport they love. The integration of analytics in hockey has transformed the sport from inside out. Data-driven insights have revolutionized player training, team strategies, and overall fan experience. As technology continues to advance, analytics will play an even more significant role in shaping the future of hockey. Embracing the power of data, teams can gain a competitive edge and achieve greater success on the ice while fans can enjoy deeper and more insightful hockey experience. With ongoing data revolution, the future of hockey looks bright and exciting. Advanced hockey analytics have become very popular in the hockey world, as teams are starting to generate success from advanced statistics. Each NHL season, every team is seeking the same goal, capturing the Stanley Cup. All 32 teams piece together their rosters in hope of making another run to the playoffs. Analytics are becoming more and more important to the teams when constructing their rosters. There has been a lot of pushback against analytics from some older minds in hockey. A lot of teams and managers still depend on the old eye test when evaluating players. The eye test still does have merit, but analytics can provide additional insights into a player that goes beyond the eye test. Some of the best general managers throughout the league use analytics to construct their rosters. While it is important to bring revenue and money to the club, nothing tops winning the cup. Here are some of the best analytical teams to capture the Stanley Cup. The 2019 St. Louis Blues. The 2018-2019 St. Louis Blues were sitting at dead last among the league halfway point through the season. The Blues had 11 players that posted a WAR higher than 1. Some of these players include Ryan O'Reilly, who ended the season with a 4.4, Colin Parenko, who had a 2.6, and Vladimir Tarasenko, who had a 2. Ryan O'Reilly's 4.4 wins above replacement was good enough to put him 6th in the league for one of the most valued analytics. During the 2018-19 season, the Blues finished with a goals for per 60 of 2.5, which was tied for 13th in the NHL, while posting an incredible X goals against per 60 of 2.19, which ranked them 3rd amongst all teams. The team also had a goals for percentage of 53.25, sitting 10th in the league. Despite their struggle in the first half of the season, the Blues' strong play began to win them games in the second half of the season. The Blues built off their momentum all the way to a Stanley Cup win over the Boston Bruins. 2020 Tampa Bay Lightning. The 2020 Tampa Bay Lightning were one of the most dominant teams to ever exist. The 2019-20 Tampa Bay Lightning were hungry after being swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets the year prior. The Lightning were loaded with talent all over the roster, with 7 players posting a WAR higher than 2. The team's WAR leaders consisted of Braden Point with a 3.8, Victor Hedman with a 3.2, and Anthony Cirelli with a 2.8. Point's stellar 3.8 WAR was good for 4th in the NHL, behind only Artemi Panarin, Elias Pettersson, and Ryan Ellis. Tampa Bay finished with a goals for per 60 of 2.96, tied for first in the league with the Colorado Avalanche, while having an X goals against per 60 of 2.09, good for fourth in the league. The team also recorded a goals for percentage of 57.36, which finished third in the league. The numbers don't lie, as the Tampa Bay Lightning went on a dominant playoff run, winning the cup in 6 games over the Dallas Stars. 2016 Pittsburgh Penguins. The first Stanley Cup of back-to-back reigns, the 2015-16 Pittsburgh Penguins were no disappointment. They had just acquired Phil Kessel, gearing up for an intense run. This Penguins team had 13 players record a WAR above 1. The WAR leaders of the team consisted of Patrick Hornquist 3.3, Carl Hagelin 2.8, and Sidney Crosby 2.6. The 2015-16 Penguins recorded a goals for per 60 of 2.44, which ranked 4th in the league, while posting an X goals against per 60 of 2.62, placing them 5th in the league. They also had a goals for percentage of 55.4, finishing 4th overall in the league. The Penguins were dominant that playoff run. It's no wonder they won the Stanley Cup that year. There's no better way to put it. The numbers speak for itself. The recent Stanley Cup champions have consisted of fantastic individual and team performances, as proven successful NHL teams don't have 2 or 3 players with good analytics, but 10, 11, or 12 steady analytical performers. There is a process when looking to add a key piece to the team, not just the player with the most points and highlights. GMs around the league need to be more educated about analytics if they are not already. Check out my hockey blog at hockeywhiztalkshockey.blogspot.com. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at hockeywhiz777. Analytics have had a significant impact on the NHL and its players in recent years. Here are some ways that analytics have influenced NHL players. Player performance analytics. Analytics provide detailed insights into player performance, such as skating speed, shot accuracy, passing efficiency, and defensive positioning. Players can use this information to identify strengths and weaknesses in their game and make improvements accordingly. Game strategy. Coaches and players can use analytics to devise more effective game strategies. For example, they can analyze opponents' tendencies, power play efficiency, penalty kill effectiveness, and more. This information helps teams make more informed decisions during games. Player scouting and drafting. Analytics are used in scouting and drafting process to identify promising young players. Teams analyze various metrics and data points to evaluate potential draft picks, allowing them to make more informed decisions during the NHL draft. Injury prevention and management. Analytics can be used to monitor player workload and fatigue levels, reducing the risk of injuries by tracking factors such as ice times, shifts, and recovery periods. Teams can make data-driven decisions to optimize player health and performance. Line combinations. Coaches can use analytics to determine optimal line combinations based on player chemistry and statistical performance. This can lead to more effective offensive and defensive pairings, ultimately enhancing team performance. Player development. Analytics help player development staff track progress and growth in various skills over time. By identifying areas that need improvement, players receive targeted training to enhance their overall performance. Contract negotiations. Analytics can play a role in contract negotiations by providing data-driven evidence of a player's value and contribution to a team. This can influence contract terms and salary discussions. Positional analysis. Analytics can help both players understand their positional play and decision-making. This can lead to more effective positioning on the ice, contributing to better offensive and defensive plays. Goalie performance. Analytics can provide goaltenders with insight into shot placement, opponent shooting tendencies, and other factors that can aid in improving their save percentage and overall performance. It's important to note that while analytics can provide valuable insight, they are just one tool amongst many that NHL players and teams use. The human element of the game, experience, skill, teamwork, and leadership remains essential for success in the NHL. Listen to Hockey Whiz Talks podcast on Podbean and Spotify. Check out my travel channel at youtube.com/@HockeyWhizTravel. In my next podcast, I'll be talking about why the NHL needs to have a World Cup of Hockey tournament in 2024.